gluttoneers. Greetings from Napa. I am Gretchen, your host of High Gluttony. Still desperately missing Becca. Here to talk about another brilliant recipe from the flavor equation, couscous with sesame roasted carrots and feta. Oh my God, I think I forgot to put the feta on it. Pretty sure I did. Oh man, I forgot the herbs when I did this. Tried to do an actual cooking recording and the microphone wasn't working properly, so that didn't work. I fucked this recipe up right good. This recipe was delicious without the feta. Didn't even miss it. I don't think we missed it at all. I'm plagued by my inability to get garnish onto things. So, all right, we just have couscous with sesame roasted carrots. Oh, this recipe was fantastic. You win me over with couscous. I love the idea of roasting carrots. It had a rice wine vinegar and sesame dressing that went on it. And as I have mentioned before, I'm having a real sesame moment. I've been kind of obsessed with sesame for a few years, but really kicked it off a few weeks ago when I made the best roast chicken of my life from the Ethiopia cookbook, which I will have to post that recipe as well because it is so good. Plus, I also promised my friend Paul that I would send him the recipe. So we're going to be doing that. But that recipe ended has a final step of sprinkling over the roasted chicken sesame seeds and then popping it under the broiler just until the seeds toast. And holy crap, was that good. I mean, just, I want to make that again right now. Might have to add sesame. I'm going to make braised short ribs for dinner tonight. And now I'm going, should I put sesame seeds on them? Should I put sesame seeds in it? Could I incorporate sesame into this somehow? It's a problem. It's a real problem, my obsession with sesame. But I'll get over it at some point. It's just an ADD thing, hyper-focus. We'll get over it someday in the future. My recipe today, which was inspired by the flavor equation, and really, I tried to make it like the flavor equation, but missed a few key elements. Man, I'm now obsessed with this recipe too. Let's jump right into ingredients. So you got a pound of carrots. I used rainbow carrots, but you can use any carrots. Those have to be peeled and cut in half lengthwise. I think also, this depends on the size of your carrots. So the picture of the recipe had some pretty small carrots. So if you have some bigger, thicker carrots, you may want to quarter them. I did have some that were pretty thick that I did quarter, and a couple of them were thicker that I didn't, and definitely took a lot longer to cook them. Also calls for 8 garlic cloves peeled, 3 teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil. And the reason they go 3 teaspoons is that you use 1 teaspoon with the carrots and then 2 teaspoons with the couscous. You have 1 teaspoon of black sesame seeds. I know I used more than that. 1 teaspoon of white sesame seeds. Used more than that as well. I did not measure those at all. Recipe recommends 1 teaspoon of red chili flakes. I put in however many I felt comfortable with. And I was using Marash red chili flakes. They actually suggest Aleppo, Marash, thinking might also be synonymous with Marash, not sure, or Urfa chili flakes, fine ground sea salt, 1/4 teaspoon ground cracked pepper, didn't measure that shit either, 1 cup of stock of some sort. I use chicken, but it also says brown vegetable stock, quote unquote, around the brown, 2 bay leaves, 3/4 cup couscous, 2 tablespoons chopped cilantro or parsley. I used parsley. You know how I love my parsley. But I also forgot to use it, so there's that. 1/4 cup crumbled feta, which I crumbled way more feta than that, and then totally forgot to use it. 2 tablespoons of chopped mint. Same there. I was actually going to use dried, but completely forgot to use it in the end. I did end up adding some of the dried mint to the dressing. And then the dressing ingredients is 1/4 cup rice wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons toasted sesame oil. I use 2 teaspoons of honey. You could also use 1 tablespoon of maple syrup. I'm not a huge fan of maple syrup, so I lean more towards honey. A half a teaspoon red chili flakes. Again, I eyeballed that and just put in however much I felt comfortable with. Sea salt, and then one shallot thinly sliced. For this recipe, Nick's flavor notes are as follows. The flavor approach. Observe how vinegar affects the perception of salt in the shallot and sesame oil dressing. Acids increase the perception of saltiness, and you will end up using less salt than you would otherwise. The shallot is thinly cut enough to pickle quickly when submerged in the vinegar. Notice how the pinkish-red anthocyanin pigments, don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but we'll check that later, in the shallots turn a little more intense once they are in vinegar. The low pH helps intensify the color. I did find this to be true. The color, because shallots tend to be a little bit more on the pale purple side than like a true bright purple, these definitely became bright purple after they sat in the dressing. Because I made the dressing, I let it sit for like over an hour because I'm always the fan of just letting things sit for ages. Now, one thing I did that I'm not sure if it helped or hurt me was I actually dressed up the carrots in their roasting ingredients. So that would be the 1 teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil, 4 garlic cloves, the black and white sesame seeds, and the chili flakes. I dressed that up, salt and pepper. It sat for probably about an hour while I was getting ready to do the recording that didn't record. So I did find that I wasn't able to achieve any a bit of the crispiness in the amount of time that was recommended in this recipe for roasting the carrots. And now it said we preheated the oven to 425 for roasting the carrots. This has to roast for 25 to 30 minutes. After about 30 minutes, I got bored of waiting for them to crisp up in the 425 oven. So what I did is kicked it over to broil and broiled them. And I still didn't really get any crispiness. Also probably contributed was I just threw oil on there. I didn't measure it. You know me. I don't need to measure things. I am perfect in every way. Turned out great anyway. When you roast carrots, the sweetness just really amplifies. They were so good because you got a little bit of the nuttiness that comes in from the sesame seeds that works really nicely with that sweetness that comes through from the roasted carrot. And then we put this nice tart rice wine vinegar dressing on it and oh, I loved it. It was beautifully savory. I think that's why I really like rice wine vinegar in general also, is because it tends to be a bit more, have a little more umami to it, I guess, in my opinion. I could be wrong about this, but this is what I think. Than like some of the other, where it's just straight up acidity, but the rice wine just has that little bit more complexity that I like. Of course, I've made my own vinegar in the past, so I also know that is more complex than the stuff you can buy at the store most of the time. So I do like a little extra complexity in my vinegars. Now, to cook the couscous, you bring the stock to a boil, add your bay leaves, add your garlic, let that kind of come together, add your couscous, take it off the heat, let it sit for 5 minutes so that couscous can absorb the stock, and that's pretty much done. One of the reasons I love couscous. It cooks so fast. It's delicious. I did make a really nice lamb patty to go with this that had fly by Jing spice blend in it, as well as used some of the parsley in those lamb patties, so at least some of it got used. And then seared those using the cold pan start method, which, you know, is my favorite method for cooking anything. But I'm finding that that really does work well for ground meat. You get really nice full cooking. It just ends up a little more tender. I did also wait to add the salt until I'd put it in the pan and start cooking it, which is another recommendation from our friend Kenji Lopez-Ault. One of his suggestions for burger cooking is not to salt the meat until it's ready to cook. Took that into consideration with these. And then constant flipping is another thing that he says works really well. So that did work out really nicely because with the low, starting the pan, the cold pan, it just works out great. It blows my mind. It kind of goes against everything I was taught in culinary school to start on a low heat and just move that meat around like crazy. But I can't argue with the result. Maybe this is why I didn't miss any of the feta. is because I already had a protein on there, and so it just didn't need that the feta. Gosh, now I'm talking about feta and I'm getting really hungry. I do have some leftovers, so I might have to warm it up and try it with the feta on it. But the dressing, really love this dressing. I mean, it is not your typical dressing ratios either. So you've got 1/4 cup of vinegar mixed with 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame oil, which, to be fair, is enough. It was amazing. I cannot express to you how much I love this recipe. It hits all of my favorite flavor zones and was really simple. I think I knocked this out in like 20, 25 minutes, except for the roasting part. The roasting part took longer. So I think I might need to experiment a little bit with the heat from my oven maybe being a bit low and maybe bump up that temperature a little bit. I was also doing a lot of different things in my oven yesterday. So I had started out by making toasted sugar, and I was making cookies from the last episode. So my oven got a good workout yesterday. It's going to get a good workout today because I'm making those short ribs that I am probably going to put sesame seeds on. Because now I'm obsessed with sesame. So I just want to throw some sesame facts in here. Since I am now obsessed with it, I figured I should do a little research on it. It is, in fact, one of the oldest crops grown in the world for oil. It was domesticated over 3,000 years ago. It has quite a few wild relatives in Africa. Some wild relatives in India, but not quite as many as Africa. It's a perennial, and it is extremely tolerant of harsh growing conditions, including drought and high heat, although it does like a fertile soil, so it does best in that situation, but can be grown in harsher climates. And part of this is because it can grow a really extensive root system, so it does a good job of tapping into water wherever it can. There are a variety of colors that sesame seeds come in. Most often, off-white is the one that you find in the grocery store, but you know, black is also fairly common. The other colors that I found, buff, which I'm like, isn't that off-white? Tan, kind of off-white too. Gold, really close to tan. Brown, reddish, and gray. The annual production in 2020 was 7 million tons. Amazingly enough, this is one of the top 9 allergy-causing foods, although it is not as common of an allergy in the U.S. as I don't think we use it quite as much as they do in some cuisines. They find the sesame allergy much more commonly in the Middle East and Asia. It's also very popular in West Africa as an ingredient. One of the lesser-known uses for it is that it can be used as a thickener. But this is usually adobo or mole that you use sesame seeds as a thickener. It can be roasted and then infused into water to produce coffee-like drink, only in flavor. No caffeine that I know about in sesame. You also can use it in cakes. I am deeply intrigued by the idea of using sesame oil in a cake. I think I'm going to need to try that at some point. Some of the health things that go along with this is that the seeds can contain a significant amount of phytic acid. This is considered an anti-nutrient. It bonds most commonly with minerals more than other types of nutrients. But this is actually, if you use it in cooking, it will destroy that. Well, at least you can reduce the amount of acid in it. Some of the other things that you want to maybe be aware of, although the evidence is weak on this, possibly could produce small reductions in systolic and diastolic blood pressure, fasting blood glucose, and can also reduce A1C levels. There are also studies, allegedly, that show it causes reduction in oxidative stress and lipid perioxidation. Peroxidation. So those are just a few things I thought were interesting. We might all want to know about sesame seeds. And Kenzie says, yes, that's enough. What else can we talk about with this? We miss Becca. Someday. Someday we'll be back together again. Until next time, off we go, gluttoneers. That's it.